Amen. Tell somebody next to you, Jesus loves you as you sit down this morning. He does. He loves you greatly. Thank you for being with us today at Life Community Church on such a cold day with ice everywhere, but we're glad you're here and you've come to worship with us. We're glad you're here, and we are thankful for what the Lord is doing in our church. Last week, we began a new series entitled Not Your Ordinary Family, and we're talking about God's design for the family. And last week, we basically discovered that if you align your family with the Lord and you allow biblical principles to govern your family, you'll be a happy family. Doesn't mean that you won't ever have problems, you won't ever have trouble, okay? But it means there'll be a joy that goes through your family if you commit to your family to the Lord and you serve God. And we have a little bit of a theme verse that we're memorizing. If you got your notes in your program, and we're going to say this verse out loud, but it's from Joshua 24:15. It's our memory verse for the month. Are you ready? Let's read it together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Let's do it one more time. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. That is our prayer, that we will learn to be a church that dedicates our families to God, and that we live our families in such a way that is pleasing and honoring to God. You know, this week, if you're on our church email address or our mailing list, you probably got a really weird email from me this week that said, giving you the heads up, I'm talking about sex on Sunday morning, you know? And you know, I said that, and you know, and some of you guys really wrote back, and it was really nice in what you said. And even when you say that, it's like the air just comes out of the room, doesn't it? And why is that so awkward and so hard for us to discuss as a church? Why is that difficult? Well, I really believe with all of my heart that we must teach and preach what the Bible says. I believe in the Bible. Do you this morning? I believe it to be God's word, and I believe it to be truth. And there is a large portion of Scripture that deals with the relationship between husband and wife. And as a result of that, if we're really going to tackle the issue of family, we need to understand what the Bible teaches about this subject. And we need not to be afraid of this subject. Now, it doesn't mean you got to be rude or graphic or crude when presenting the subject. That's not what it means. But it does mean that we should teach and preach what the Bible says. And what I believe today is that when we study this section of Scripture from Proverbs chapter 5, so go ahead and get your Bibles open if you're ready. Proverbs chapter 5, what we're going to learn today is that the Bible does say a few things about this subject. The first half of Proverbs 5, we dealt with last year. It was all about avoiding distractions. I'm sure every one of y'all remember that sermon, right? Yeah, you got that archived in your memories, right? No, okay, it's all right. But we dealt with the first half of it last year, and today we're going to deal with the second half. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a little PG-13, all right? But we're going to preach God's word. We're going to be faithful to what the Bible says this morning, and our hope and prayer is that it will speak to us, especially if we're married today or pursuing marriage, and what a biblical view of this is all about. Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse 15, and it's in regards to marriage, okay? And it says this, drink water from your own cistern, water flowing from your own well. Should your springs flow in the street, streams of water in the public squares, they should be for you alone, and not for you to share with strangers. Let your fountain be blessed, and take pleasure in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful fawn, let her breast always satisfy you. Be lost in her love forever. Why, my son, would you be infatuated with a forbidden woman, or embrace the breast of a stranger? For a man's ways are before the Lord's eyes, and he considers all his paths. A wicked man's iniquities entrap him. He is entangled in the ropes of his own sin. He will die because there is no discipline, and this is the greatest part of this, and be lost because of his great stupidity. Father, may you bless the word of God today and speak to us. We pray in your name. Amen. We deal with the subject, and everybody's like, man, this is an awkward day. We should have let the ice keep us in, amen, you know? What in the world? Well, why would I take time? Why would I feel that it's important for us this morning to deal with this? Well, I mean, really, if we're going to talk about family, it's very, very important because, as we've already said, the Bible teaches this. But I really believe with all my heart that we have such a messed up understanding of this. I mean, our culture is saturated. It is teaching it the wrong way. Our children are learning it the wrong way. Our children are being exposed to graphic material on the internet before they can even drive. And if there was ever a time, and I preached at a marriage retreat yesterday, and I told them this. I said, you know, there was a time when education came from the church, when the family would be ministered to and spoken through a Christian community, and where we just did it. And I'm not against public education or anything like that, but there was a time when we handled those sensitive subjects in the home, and we handled them in a way from a godly perspective, and we handled those things, and we just didn't let some stranger teach our children, but we did it in our homes, and we did it the right way. And we did it in regards to teaching what the Bible says, not just a lesson in anatomy, but what the Word of God says about it. I'm pretty strong about that I believe that it should come from the home. And I believe that the church should not be silent. Now, does it make it any less awkward? Not really. Pray for me. Amen. You know, pray for me, okay? But here's the deal. Here's what we need to know when dealing with this subject. Sex is designed by God, the means of procreation, and a gift. So when we talk about sex this morning, that is the definition we're going to use. We're going to say it like this, that it's designed by God, that it was the Lord who made this. It was the means of procreation, which means what? This is how humans come into being. And this is the way that God has made it come into being. And second, third, it's a gift of God. It's not to be shameful. It's not to be embarrassing or something that we think is, we just never talk about. It's a gift of God. So the problem with all of this is that this is not the definition that society has for sex. Everybody okay with me on that? That is not what society is teaching. I believe that's a biblical definition of what it's supposed to be. And just look at the scriptures. Adam and Eve were commanded to be fruitful and what? Multiply. You know that one, don't you? You know that one, right? Be fruitful and multiply. There's a whole Bible book written about this subject called Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. A whole Bible book written about it. The New Testament teaches it and reaffirms it in the epistles of Paul. So when I look at this subject, this is not something that we've got to grasp for straws to preach a sermon about. This stuff's all over the Bible. And I really believe if there is ever a time we need to really teach it, today's the day. And here's why. Sadly, sex has been perverted and polluted in our culture. It has been perverted and polluted in our culture. People are saying that it can be done recreationally. You can sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. You can have multiple partners. You can do all of this without being married. You can fool around before marriage, or you can do this before marriage, or that before marriage. We have really put some odd boundaries on what sexual relationships should be like. We've even twisted it and marketed it. And we've taken stuff that should be in the privacy of man and woman in their home, and we're making money off of it through pornography. Let me tell you a little bit that I researched this week. The photograph was invented in 1839. It only took 11 years after the photograph was invented for the word pornographer to show up in the dictionary. Just 11 years after the camera was created and photographs could be made, 11 years and the word pornographer appeared in dictionaries. See, this epidemic of pornography is destroying marriages. It's destroying people. It is sick and it's twisted. And you just need to know some of this stuff today, because what's happened is that pornography is invading the homes. It's invading people. And if there was ever a time that the church of God must preach and condemn this mess, today's the day. Today's the day. Earlier this decade, the domain business.com on the internet, it went up for auction and sold for a record of $7.5 million. And then sex.com went up and sold for $65 million. It's a business. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic film is being created in the United States. Every 39 minutes. That's not counting other countries. There are an estimated 28,258 people every second viewing pornography. Every second. Mostly men, 72%, and also women, 28% view pornography, and the Christian community is not immune. When surveyed, 53% of men who attended Promise Keepers, a Christian organization that helps men to grow closer to God, said that they view pornography just that week. More than 45% of Christians admitted that pornography is a major problem in their home. In an online newsletter, 34% of female readers, to today's Christian woman, admitted to intentionally accessing internet pornography. One out of every six women who read today's Christian woman say that they struggle with an addiction to pornography. In addition to that, some more stats. According to the article, pornography is leading to dangerous activities, written by a guy named Pat Fagan. It says this: married men who are involved in pornography feel less satisfied with their conjugal relations and less emotionally attached to their wives. Pornography use is a pathway to infidelity and divorce and is frequently a major factor in family disasters. Couples affected by one spouse's addiction to pornography usually experiences a loss of interest in sexual relationships with that person. Both spouses perceive pornography, when interviewed, as a form of infidelity. Pornographic viewing leads to a loss not only in the sexual activity within the home, but it also leads to a desire to spend time with children. Isn't that interesting? A desire to quit spending family time. See, this stuff messes with you, amen? It messes you up. It just makes you into something that God did not intend for you to be. From the Focus on the Family website, they outline five stages of pornography addiction. There's the early exposure. A lot of guys get addicted to pornography early on. They see stuff when they're young and it gets in them. Then there's the addiction part. It keeps you coming back for more. It becomes a regular part of your life. There's the escalation part, where after a while, escalation begins. You start looking for more and more graphic images, and then you start using pornography that would have disgusted you earlier when you began. And sadly, the fifth stage of addiction to pornography is that you act out sexually, meaning that at this point, many men take the dangerous jump and start acting out sexually, meaning that they'll make the transition from images into real life, meaning that they will frequent strip clubs or frequent prostitutes or even eventually lead to raping somebody. Tell me this stuff's not serious. Tell me it's not serious. Tell me it's a joke. Because I would like to believe it's a joke, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? A large percentage of human trafficking, of kidnapping little girls and little boys, funds the pornography business. A lot of times you don't realize is that on the other side of that camera is somebody with a gun pointing it at that person to do those acts. We as Christians should be alarmed, disgusted, and we should not be silent on such issues. We should not be silent. This should bother us, disturb us, lead us to repentance, and to be vocal about what God really and truly intended sexual relationships to be. What we need today in the church is to reclaim healthy relationships, healthy relations in the confines of marriage. We need to understand what is healthy and what is not healthy. So, thankfully, we have the Bible to guide us. Let's look at it. You ready? Three things. You ready? This is what the Bible says, okay? Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your spouse. I thought some men would say amen to that. Is it still awkward? I don't know. Is it, you know? I don't know. We'll see, you know? It says this, drink water from your own cistern, water flowing from your own well. Should your springs flow in the street, streams of water in public squares. He says this, he describes the relationship between a man and woman as a cistern or a well. In ancient time, the well was a very valuable commodity. It caused life to come forth. I mean, you can't live without water, especially in the desert. So he describes the relationship between husband and wife as a well, because water is important to life. He would seem to indicate that within the marriage confines is that you should enjoy relations. You should enjoy relationships. You should enjoy being with your bride or your groom. You should enjoy that. It's not to be something that we just, this is bad, this is evil, whatnot. We're going to put some parameters on it here in a second. But here's what I do know is that this is not an evil thing. Are y'all with me on that, church? If it's evil, okay, none of y'all should be here right now, right? Right? None of y'all should be here. It's not evil. This is a gift of God designed by God. The New Testament also reiterates this and helps us. And I think we'll have it on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5. It's not in your notes, but just listen. The Apostle Paul says, but because sexual immorality is so common, each man should have his own wife. Man, he says sexual immorality was common 2,000 years ago. Man, what would he say today? What would he say today? Because sexual morality is so common, each man should have his wife, his own wife. And each woman should have her own husband. A husband should fulfill his marital responsibilities to his wife, and likewise a wife to her husband. A wife does not have the right over her own body, but her husband does. Some of y'all are thinking, Kenny. But now let's just keep going. Let's just keep going, all right? In the same way, a husband does not have the right over his own body, but his wife does. Women, say amen. There you go. And you know, that's a good verse to quote if you're trying to get your husband to stop eating pork rinds and, you know, at 12 o'clock at night, right? That's a good verse to quote, right? Okay, it keeps going. Do not deprive one another sexually except when you agree for a time to devote yourselves to prayer. They come together again. Otherwise, Satan may tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Paul is saying this, is that it, because of all the sin that's around, get married. Get married. If you can't control your actions, if you can't control what's inside of you, get married. And let marriage be the channel of sexual expression. Let marriage be that channel of sexual expression. And actually also understand that this is not to be something, just real quick, this should be between husband and wife. And sexual relations should not be withheld from one person to punish somebody. That's not the intent. And likewise, sex should not be treating the partner as some sort of piece of meat or an object or an animal. Or because you have twisted thoughts in your minds because of pornography, you want them to do these weird, crazy things that you've watched when you shouldn't have watched to begin with. That's not what we're talking about. Amen? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something healthy, something happy. Don't let pornography again mess you up. But God wants marriage to be more than just physical. He wants love and respect within the marriage. By the way, men need respect. Women need love. If you respect your man, he'll love you. And if you love your wife, she'll respect you. Well, I just can't respect her. Then start loving her, and she probably will. Well, I have a hard time loving her. Well, just do that. Or I have a hard time respecting him. Well, just start respecting him before I start loving you. That's how God does things. But here's what I know is that when you begin to meet all of their needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, the whole shebang, guess what? That makes your sex life a little bit better. It really does. When you learn how to care for your spouse holistically, everything that they need, more so than just looking at them like a piece of meat, guess what? When times of intimacy come, they're blessed. Amen? They're blessed. You know, if you've been mean to your wife all day and crabby to her and saying, get in there and clean those dishes, woman, blah, 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 blah. And then you say, it's time. And she's going to say, no, it's not. No, you get in there and clean those dishes. Right? That ain't what we're talking about. Amen? We're talking about loving and respecting. Y'all with me on that, church? Loving and respecting. That's what we're talking about. But within the context of marriage, this is to be enjoyed. It's to be celebrated. Honey, you know, it's your anniversary. Leave the kids at home. Go to Gatlinburg. It's okay. It's okay. Enjoy your spouse. Number two, enjoy your spouse. You ready? Only. Only. Enjoy your spouse only. Look what it says. They should be for you alone and not for you to share with strangers. Okay? Somebody tell that weird dude on TLC with all the five wives that, all right, okay? Somebody tell him that. Let your fountain be blessed and take pleasures in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful fawn, let her breast always satisfy you, be lost in her love forever. Why, my son, be infatuated with a forbidden woman or embrace the breast of a stranger? For a man's ways are before the Lord's eyes and he considers all his path. You read this and there's two commands. Take pleasure in the wife of your youth. What does that mean? That means that when you married that gal and you loved her and she had that twinkle in her eye, she looked so good. That's right, Mike. She's supposed to still look good. And you know what? That might be a good exercise. If you're married here today with your bride, me and look at her and say, baby, you still look good. Not all y'all did that, did you? Not all y'all did that, did you? Let's try it again. That's just who I am, right? Men, look at your wives. Repeat after me. Baby, you still look good. See, now I'm not the only person that's red up here, okay? We all right today? I'm not the only one that's red this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're to enjoy them. Well, Kenny, they're not the same person I married. Neither are you. Neither. They got fat. So did you. So did you. So did you. That's real life. But the way that God has defined it is that it's one man, one woman for one lifetime. That's the way it works. The Bible says you should be lost in her love. In the Hebrew, that means intoxicated. That means it's when you're around your wife, you still get butterflies in you. You still get kind of cloud 90 with her. And you know, she's like your drug. He's like your drug. That's who you want. That's who you desire. And you shouldn't desire other people. You shouldn't desire other stuff. So we need to be careful today not to put ourselves in environments that lead to temptation. Amen? We shouldn't do that. For example, don't call and text your old boyfriends. Don't call and text your old girlfriends. Be careful with that. Don't be alone with the opposite sex, ever. Kenny, that seems really old-fashioned, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. I don't think there's anything wrong with being old-fashioned sometimes. I don't think there's anything wrong. Knowing that infidelity occurs and adulteries occur someplace and they start someplace. Now, sometimes because of work, you've got to do certain things, right? Because of work. Right? But understand that when work is over, you don't need to go get a cup of coffee with them. Y'all with me on that? You don't need to get a cup of coffee with them. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Be careful not to criticize your spouse to the opposite sex. Very, very important. you just don't know how mean he is to me or how he's this or that or blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, what happens? Well, I won't be that way to you. I won't be that way to you. And then the seeds of adultery are planted. Be very careful. We understand that we are to enjoy sex, but only with our spouse. Not outside of the sexual, not outside of marriage. Not outside of marriage. It is reserved for marriage. Let me say it again. One man, one woman, one lifetime. That's what it is. That's what marriage is. And we need to understand that and protect that. Third, enjoy your spouse and protect your marriage. And protect your family or your marriage. Enjoy your spouse and protect your family. Now this last verse, these last couple verses here are very strong. And they're supposed to be. A wicked man's iniquities entrap him. He is entangled in the ropes of his own sin. Now listen to his words. He will die because there's no discipline. And be lost because of his great stupidity. That's from the Bible. It's referring to a man that forgets that he has a loving wife at home and children at home. And he turns to other stuff. And in the end, it cost him everything. You can go back up into this passage earlier on, and the warnings are there. And it's not on the screen, but I'm just going to read it. 5:11 says, at the end of your life, you will lament when your physically body is being consumed. It's going to be gone. He talks about your earnings going into the house of strangers. Gee, isn't that ironic? 2,000 years later, you commit adultery, you still lose money, and you still lose your kids. Isn't that interesting? 2,000 years later. It hurts people. It damages people. It hurts children. So when I start preaching about a subject like this, and some of you may think, I just don't know if that's appropriate to talk about on a Sunday morning. I'm concerned with dealing with that topic. Here's what I'm saying is that there are people's lives being ruined. Ruined. Children that are growing up without guidance in their homes, being ruined, families being ruined, people hurting. Nobody comes out of a divorce without pain. Amen for some of you all? That doesn't happen. So why is it important for me to preach this message to a predominantly younger crowd that has lots of young kids back there? Because your church cares for you. And it cares enough for you. You ready? This is harsh, but it's in the Bible. I'm going to say it. Because we just don't want you to be stupid. Just don't be stupid. You've got a lot going on. Don't be stupid. Now, I'm not supposed to say stupid in front of Gracie, but she's not in here right now, okay? She's not in here right now. But don't be stupid. That's from the Bible, by the way. Amen. You know, it's funny. Some churches say, we believe the Bible, just don't preach that part of it, right? But we believe the Bible at LCC. We believe it. You can lose a lot if you're not careful. Now, he says, I hated discipline. See, some of us today, we don't like hearing this because we don't want to be controlled. We don't want to keep sex pure. We don't want to keep sex just within the marriage relationship. We want to take it everywhere, ignore God's principles, ignore all of this. Notice what he said. I hated discipline. That's where it all started. I hated discipline. Today, we really need God to help us reclaim what real sex is all about. Not let Hollywood tell us, not let the internet tell us, but let God's Word tell us. Let God's Word tell us, because it is God who gives it and God who defines it. It is the Lord who's doing this. See, today, in order for us to pick up, for some of us to pick up our marriages and to go forward, we're really going to need God to do a work in our hearts. See, Jesus, when he came and died on the cross and he rose again from the dead, for those that call on him can be saved. But salvation is more than just going to heaven. It took me a while to realize that. Salvation is more just going to heaven. It's about the Lord coming into your life and forgiving you of your sins, of your past mistakes. And isn't that good news today that he forgives us of past mistakes? Anybody happy for that? That's pretty awesome, ain't it? But he also begins to do a work within us. And like David prayed, create in me a what kind of heart? A clean heart. See, David himself had committed adultery. Do you remember that? He committed adultery. And he still prayed, Lord, give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. That's good news for every one of us today. Because in Jesus Christ, he can clean up our mistakes. He can set our minds that were once perverted or polluted, restore the healthy context of them. And in Jesus, through salvation, he gives us a healthy view of how we should be as husbands and wives. And some of you are saying, Kenny, I'm single. Man, and just, this is hard because, I mean, the married people can go home. But what am I supposed to do? Well, I don't think you need to go jump into wedding vows with the first person you see. I think that's a mistake. I think you should be prayerful and you shouldn't settle for anybody. I think you should marry a good Christian man or a good Christian woman. Amen? I don't think you should settle. And here's the deal. It's going to be tough if you're single. I'm just being honest with you, right? Paul said, it's better for you to marry than burn. He described that waiting as being set on fire. I mean, you know, it's tough. Paul was a single man, and he said that. But here's the deal. You can't compromise your integrity. You can't compromise the name of Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, he will give you strength. He will give you power to do the right thing. My prayer today, and I hope you make it your prayer, is this. Jesus, clean my heart and keep me focused on my spouse. Clean my heart up, clean it up, and keep me focused back there on Miss Taryn. Amen. Clean me up and keep me focused. Today, if you don't know Jesus, he's where cleanliness comes from. He's where purity comes from and forgiveness comes from. And in Christ, there's a new start and a new beginning for anyone that would call on the name of Jesus to be saved. Father, we love you. And in this moment now, we ask you to do just that, to clean our hearts and keep us focused on our spouse. Lord, for those that are not married, God, may you help them to remain pure until they are married. May you help them, God, not to compromise, Lord. May you help them, Father, not to make decisions that are harmful. But Lord, I ask you today to do a great work in this church. Lord, if we're really going to be a church that loves God, loves families, we ask you, Lord, to heal marriages, to heal them now, Lord. There may have been some mistakes that some of them have made, but God, that was yesterday, and today's today. And I just want to pray that husbands and wives can forgive each other as you have forgiven them. And Lord, and I also want to pray that God, that there'll be health within each marriage relationship. Father, help them in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit be upon us. And Lord, today I invite, Lord, husbands and wives to come and pray for each other, to pray for their marriage, that they'll be more fulfilled than ever. So Jesus, we love you. And if anyone today needs Christ, may they come. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing and worship the Lord today?